rest over us, that he is singing over us, right? So we have walked through this season, and so we feel like it is very important to come and talk about what is that? What does it look like? And today we're going to talk about know your enemy. Because if we don't know who we're fighting against, church, it's very easy to be oblivious and not even realize it's happening. To be caught unaware, and then you're not prepared, right? So we're going to talk about that. And before I dismiss the children, I have an illustration that I wanted to do because I need one of the children before they get to go to their class. And I think it's also good for the children to see this illustration. So I'm going to ask Mr. Christian Malone, is he still in here? Come on up. And church, today Christian is going to represent all of us. If you are a child of God, you are like Christian. Let's see those muscles, Christian. Can you show us your muscles? This is us. This is us right here, church. And I don't care if you got muscles like Pastor Joe. In the spirit world, this is us. You can put those down. Thank you. We will always be a child. Don't ever grow past being a child of God. We never reach a place of adulthood to where we can be on our own. Do you understand? We always need our Father. We need his protection. We need his care. We need his guidance. We never mature past a child stage with God. That's why he says you need to have childlike faith. I don't care if you're 80 years old. You need childlike faith. Because in the spirit world, and I'm not saying you're weak, Christian, but we are nothing compared to what happens in the spirit realm on our own. So I need a devil, and this was hard for me to think about who could represent the devil. So I apologize now. But Brother Ryan, will you come up for me? Because I need something, Brother Ryan Everett. Because he's strong. And I want you guys to see this picture. This is the image I had in my mind of us as Christians, and you could just stand right there. And it was really hard for me because I'm like, none of the men in the church represent the devil. They are all good men of God, and I appreciate that. But if there was a battle going on right here, raise your hand if you think Christian's going to win it. Only because Ryan's a nice guy.
Hey, the devil is a liar.
But the devil, yes. Yes, Ryan's too nice of a guy, but if he really, really, really wanted to hurt Christian, how many of you know that he could? There's no battle here. There's no contest. And church, with the enemy of our soul, if we are in our own strength, this is what we are. Yeah. It's an easy fight for the enemy. And that's why he doesn't want you to be connected with your Father. That's why he doesn't want you in the Word of God to know who you are in Christ. Yeah. He wants you to stay right here. Now I'm going to ask my husband to come up, stand behind Christian, and represent God. I know it's a stretch. Now, how many of you think this is a little fairer fight? I honestly don't know if these two guys really went at it, which one would win. But do you know we know God and Satan already went at it, and who won? It's done. It's done. There's no question. There's no contest. It is done. I think Satan thought he had a chance. He found out very soon he didn't. Anybody want to see these two go at it? See who would win?
No, we're not.
We're not going to, because the battle's not going to happen again between God and Satan. It will never happen again. And even though in the end of times it says there's going to be the battle of Armageddon, how many of you know it is just a formality? There's no question about the outcome. So we know God has already been victorious. Yeah. And church, listen to me. Kids, teenagers, adults, when we are walking through this life, if we are in alignment with our Father, if we are staying on his path where he's told us to go, what he's told us to do, we're being obedient to whatever he says to us, we're standing in faith, no matter what the enemy tries, we then are guaranteed the same victory. Everyone say, same victory.
Same.
There's no question. There's no doubt. Just as we know God is guaranteed the victory over Satan every time, we are guaranteed the victory over Satan every time if we are staying connected to the Father. Yes. Can you guys give them a hand? Thank you so much. Have a seat. Have a seat. And I know Ryan is a great man of God, so do not have any questions in your mind. I just knew him and Joe were about the same size. So that worked out. And children, you guys can go ahead and be dismissed. We have nursery class. If you have any babies, you can take them on back. We have preschool for ages 4 through 6. Kids church, ages 7 through 12. And I am so thankful for our young people. A church with no young people is a dying church. But we have life and we have a future in our children, so I'm so thankful. Okay, so I want you to keep that image in your mind as we go through the series this next few weeks, that you constantly remember that our victory in this battle and this warfare is only as connected as our relationship to God is. That's it. If we do anything in our own strength, it would be like Christian fighting Ryan if Ryan was really mad and trying to really destroy him. And I know that's hard to imagine. But if Ryan wanted to, he could put a world of hurt on Christian. And I can tell you our enemy wants to. He wants to. And we're going to learn about that today. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with us. Because we're talking about know your enemy. Some people do not believe there is a God or there is a devil. And that's a scary place to be, because if you're not aware, then you are already behind the eight ball. You are an open target for anything and everything to happen because you have no idea what's really going on. And just because something is invisible to our human eye does not make it any less real. And so we need to understand there is a whole world happening around us that we cannot physically see, but it is impacting us. It is affecting us day by day. And there are things going on that we are only aware of if the Spirit reveals it to us. But there is a real enemy who wants to destroy us, and we're going to find out who he is. Looking in John chapter 8 and verse 44, and this is Jesus speaking, and he's talking about the Pharisees, the religious people of that time, and he actually said they were acting like their father, the devil. Any of you, your spouse ever told you you're being like the devil? That'd be a little rough, right? But Jesus is basically saying any time you're not obeying God, then you're obeying the ruler of this world, which is the devil. That's what you're being like. And then he goes on to say who the devil is. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning. And the beginning is before our time ever started. The beginning is even before Adam and Eve. The beginning, Satan was there before we were ever created as human beings. Satan existed. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And that's why I said I think that Satan actually thought he had a chance to come against God. Because why would he try it if he knew that he had no chance? And some people have heard them say, well, Satan tried to rise above God. That isn't even what the Bible says, because that's impossible. What the Bible says is he tried to be like God. He tried to put himself on this equal playing field, like we saw with Joe and Ryan looking at them. I'm like, they look pretty equally matched. So Satan looked at himself and looked at God and said, I think I'm pretty equally matched with you. I think I deserve to be on the same playing field with you. And God said, absolutely not. He will not share his glory with anyone. And that goes for us. Anytime we get a little pride in our life thinking we're a little bit of anything, God will not share his glory with anything. We are only anything when we are in Christ. Yes. It is only Christ in us that is any good at all. On our own, we would be like our father, the devil. That is where our nature comes from. And it is only the renewed nature in Christ that is any good within us. And so Jesus goes on and he calls him a murderer from the beginning and says, when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is the father, or he is a liar and the father of lies. So, church, let me ask you this question, because I heard a girl recently this last school year say, everybody lies. My mom told me everybody lies. Church, should a Christian lie? If we are lying, I would say we are of the devil, because he is the father of lies. And our father is full of truth.
Yeah, come on.
So young people, kids, teenagers, let me get this into your spirit, because when I was a kid, I told some lies. But can I tell you, I met my husband who did not tell lies, at least at the point I met him. His parents would ask him hard questions, and he would tell them the truth, and I was like, you told them that? I had to learn to crucify that nature in me that thought it was okay to be dishonest. And I had to learn to walk in the truth. And that's where we as a church body need to learn to be like our God and not like the God of this world. He is the father of lies. And the murderer we even see in the beginning, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, what's the next story we read? Cain and Abel. What happened? Cain murdered his brother. How quickly sin changes the atmosphere. They came from a beautiful garden where they were walking with God. All of a sudden, their children are killing each other. Because he is a God, or the devil is a murderer. That's what he puts in our hearts, division and discord and strife. That's who he is. So if we look at John 10:10, this is also Jesus speaking. He said, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying or abundant life. So we live in a world where even when there are wars, there are certain standards to war. Anyone ever heard of war crimes? So countries can be judged if they do things, even during war, that are not ethical. So sometimes we have this idea in our head that even in a fight, there are certain things, certain rules to go by. But can I tell you, our enemy does not play by the rules. He will steal. He will kill. He will destroy you. He will take everything you have. He will try to kill your body and your relationship with God. And then he will try to destroy your entire lineage, your entire heritage. Everything that God had planned for your children and grandchildren, he's coming after. And what we do determines whether or not he's successful. Are we staying in alignment with God? Are we being obedient to Christ? Or are we getting off in our own will? Because in our own will, in our own strength, in our own ability, we are like Christian fighting Ryan alone. Every time. When we begin to get outside God's will just a little bit, have you ever seen that happen? Someone just strays a little bit and they think it's no big deal, and suddenly it's like a downward spiral. And they're looking like, how did I get here? Because you got outside of the will of God and you were fighting on your own. And you're not that strong and you're not that good and you're not able to overcome the enemy on your own strength. He is supernatural. We are natural. We cannot come at him in our natural ability and fight a supernatural being. He is stronger than us every time. And he wants to kill, and he wants to steal, and he wants to destroy us. So Peter says in chapter 5, verse 8, stay alert. Everyone say, wake up.
Wake up.
Say it again, wake up.
Wake up.
You need to stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. How many of you know the easiest prey is the one that is not aware that there is any kind of danger?
Yeah.
Whether it's an animal, if there's a lion stalking around, he wants to find the easy one that's not paying attention. He doesn't want to have to run and chase and have this big battle. He wants to find the one that's just frolicking along by himself. and he can attack him. In our human experience, when you have predators, they are looking for the victims that aren't aware. I've had a child who used to tell me, I want to go for a walk around the block. Like, not by yourself. Why? If anyone tried to grab me, I would kick them and I would punch them. And I'm not going to say who it was, but some of you could probably guess which child I'm talking about. And that child thought, even though she's a Christian, going against a Ryan, thought that she had a chance to win. There's no chance. And when you're not aware of the threat, when you're not aware of the danger, you become an even easier target and an easier predator, easier victim. And so we need to understand there is a real Satan. There are people who believe in God but don't believe in Satan. I don't understand that. If you believe the Bible is real, then you can't believe there's not a devil, because Jesus clearly has said there is a devil. And this is his job, and this is what he's trying to do. And I'm warning you, and you need to stay alert and pay attention, because he's coming after you. So if you have any questions about whether there is or isn't a devil, I encourage you to come out Wednesday, because we want to discuss it with you. We don't expect you just to take our word for anything, right? If I can convince you of something, then someone else can convince you of something else. But we want to reason in the Word of God. And I think this is very important to understand that there is an enemy. And so we encourage you, Wednesday, we're digging deeper into all of this. So please come out if you have questions. Please, please come out and ask your questions. But I want to get into, how does the enemy work? What is his plan? What is he doing? Why is it so successful? Because so many times he is successful. And I'm not going to go into everything that he does, but I'm going to hit the top three that I felt like God laid on my heart to talk about. And so the first one is manipulation. He is great at taking the truth, taking a little bit of truth, and twisting it and turning it until it is something completely different than what the truth actually is. He's really good at taking something and making it sound so right and so good that if you don't know the truth, you're going to say, oh yeah, that makes sense. It's manipulation. And so if you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked of the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees of the garden? So right there, church, where's the manipulation? What did he say that was not correct? Did he really say something else? What was it? Any. Did God say you can't eat any tree? No. And the serpent knew that's not what God said. But the serpent took a little bit of truth that you can't eat a tree and turned it into something completely different. God said you couldn't eat any of these trees. And he began to manipulate and place some doubt in Eve's mind about who God is. He began to place some doubt in Eve's mind that God really had good plans for her and was keeping her safe. He began to plant and manipulate the relationship that Eve had with God and made it appear to be something different than what it was. It was really good. And all of a sudden he began to manipulate and say, why did God tell you you can't eat any tree? That's not even what God said. But he was able to plant a little bit of doubt and manipulate the truth. And she fell for it. And church, how many times do we fall for it? And we think something is different than what it really is. You know what I know about my God? He's a good father. Yeah. He's not withholding any good thing from me. And the enemy will come and tell you, well, you can't have a good time because you're a Christian. You can't do this. You can't do that. God, did God really say that you can't just do anything fun? Did God really put all these rules and regulations on you? You can't be like everybody else. Everybody else is having a good time and you're different. He will begin to manipulate, and the truth is, God is so good. God loves us so much. He cares about us so much that he's doing everything he can to keep us safe and in this path where we can have abundant life. But the enemy will manipulate and twist it to make it think it's something different, to make you think you're missing out on something when all you're really missing out on is heartache and division and jealousy and strife and all this junk the world has. That's what you're missing out on. Patience. The other thing the enemy will do, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, is he will bring division among people. And let me say this even before I read the scripture. Sometimes there has to be a separation. The Bible says, how can two people walk together unless they agree? So if we're not walking in the same direction, I can't walk with you. But my heart can always be for you. And that's the difference. I can love people even when I can't walk with people. I can care and want good for people's life and pray for them, even if I understand we're heading in two different directions and I can't go where you're going. But what the enemy will do is try to bring a division where you see that person as your enemy. And even people who are walking in the same direction, he tries so hard to divide. You may have the same goals to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at all the denominations we have in this world. Where did that come from? Division. Division. Let's get caught up on something we don't agree on instead of everything we do agree on. Division. It is a tactic of the enemy to divide. And instead of focusing on all we have in common and then focusing on Jesus Christ, can I tell you, I love that our town does a community vacation Bible school. And I have told other people that sometimes, and they're like, oh, I'd be nervous about that. I don't think you should be working with the Catholic Church and the Methodist Church and the Lutheran Church. I don't think you should be doing that. And I said, we are teaching Jesus Christ. We are coming together to say Jesus loves you, he died for your sins, he rose again, you are a sinner, you need Jesus to go to heaven. I can work with people on that. Yeah. I'm not going to focus on the things that divide us. I'm going to focus on what can we come together. How can we be the body of Christ together? But the enemy wants us to see the separation. The enemy wants us to see what do we think differently about. And I heard a phrase one time that I thought was really good as well. And it said, in the essentials, you need to have agreement. I can't work with people who don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I can't do ministry with them because that's essential. So in the essentials, you have to have agreement. But in everything else, just have love. If you want to say you have to get baptized in water to go to heaven, and I say I don't think you have to get baptized, I can love you through that. We can still minister together. That's not essential. The essential is Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Those are the essentials. In church, when we're working with other Christians, when we're working within this body, I don't care if you're pre-trib or post-trib. It doesn't matter to me. I can love you through it. But if we have the same essentials, we're going in the same direction, we can walk together, and there shouldn't be division. And if there is, that is from the enemy. And you're falling into his snare, and you're falling into his trap. And he's pulling people away over silly, stupid things that don't really matter. And they're letting him have ground in their life. And they're not walking in the obedience of Christ because the obedience of Christ will keep his body together. The obedience of Christ will tell us, focus on Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and spread the gospel. That's what we need to be busy about. We don't need to be busy about drama. We need to be busy about our Father's business. So let's not give room for the enemy. That's his tactic. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to divide. If you're starting to feel division, step back and look at it. So what's going on here? What is really happening here? Because if there's division, maybe someone's walking a different direction and you have to have a separation, or maybe it's the enemy trying to pull you apart. So you need to take a look at it and be aware of what he's doing. Now, the third one I just felt like God laid on my heart may not make sense at first to you, but the devil will use justice. Have you ever heard anyone say, "I'm not good enough"? If I walked in that church building, the roof would cave in. That's justice. You're right. That roof should cave in on you. But you know what my God says? I forgive you. I'm loving. I'm merciful. And the enemy will take all of those words out of your vocabulary and just want you to focus on the justice of what you deserve, of what I deserve. The enemy will make you feel unworthy. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "I just don't feel worthy enough." Because that's why you don't feel worthy enough, because he's whispering in your ear that you're not worthy enough. He's reminding you of everything you did. And all you got to do is ask God to forgive you, and it's done. It's gone. That's a tactic of the enemy. So in Revelations chapter 12, verse 10, we see he is the accuser of the brothers and sisters, and he's been thrown down to the earth. He accuses them before God day and night. We also saw in Job, that's what he was doing. He was accusing. God says, "Look at Job. Do you see how much he loves me? Do you see how much he serves me?" And what did the devil do? "Well, God, he's only serving you because you're protecting him and you're keeping him safe from everything." Said, "Remove your hand of protection and watch what he does." And I believe the enemy is still watching our lives. And man, it's great when we can be like Job and say, "Look at Job, he hasn't done anything wrong." Any of you want to raise your hand and say that you're in that boat? Most of the time we have something that the enemy can use against us. And he can go to God and say, "Look, they're supposed to be your children. They're supposed to love you, but look what they did. Look what they said. Look what they're watching. Look what they're doing. Justice. You need to take them out. You need to judge them." And you know what God says? "Child, I love you. And I'm wanting to forgive you." And so, church, we need to repent quickly. The enemy's trick is to keep us focused on the sin, focused on the issue, and to think that we're unworthy when all we need to do is come and say, "God, I'm sorry. Help me to do better next time. I'm going to turn away." Because, church, if we don't repent, if we stay in that space and in that place, it will become a stronghold in our life. It can become an addiction in our life, and then Satan begins to just tighten his grip. When all the time, all you had to do is quickly just say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm coming back to you. I'm getting back in line with you." Because what it is we had stepped out of his will. We had stepped out of that place of obedience. It's not hard to get back, church. I've heard people say when they've walked out of the church for a while, the hardest thing to do is come back that first time. They feel like everyone's going to judge them. Everyone's going to be so upset. And I heard someone say, and I'm not going to say who it is, because they're back now. They've been back for a long time. I'm so thankful. But when they were gone, the person told me, she goes, "I know it's not true. I know when I come back, everyone's going to love me. I know that people miss me, but in my head, I just keep having this thought that they're going to judge me. They're going to know that I've been doing things that weren't right." That's the enemy. It's the lie of the enemy. It's the tactic of the enemy to try to see what you deserve instead of receiving the mercy and the grace that God is offering. And so let's not get stuck there. I didn't read, let's read, did I read 2 Corinthians? So when it comes to division, this is so important. It says, "When I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. So church, one of the biggest things with division is unforgiveness. When you're holding something against somebody, it's going to divide you. And that's going to impact your walk with God, because God says, I can't forgive you if you're not forgiving others. And that is a tactic the enemy will use. Oh, they treated you wrong? Did you see how they looked at you? Did you see what they said about you? The image I often get when it comes to forgiveness is letting it roll off you like water on a duck's back. Just let it roll off. And if you can't, then that's when the Bible says you go and you talk to the person. And you work it out together, because you can't let things stay between us. Because that's where the enemy can have a foothold. That's where he can come in and begin that process of division. So we either let stuff roll off, and if you can't, if you're still thinking about it, then go to the person and just talk it through. I say this all the time. I hope she doesn't mind, but Teresa Dybel years ago came to me and said, and I loved it. I loved it so much. She said, Alicia, she's like, the devil keeps telling me that you don't like me. And I don't think that's true, but I'm just going to ask. I was so glad she said, I'm like, no, Teresa, I love you. I don't feel like there's anything between us. I've never even had that thought. But what if she wouldn't have come? If you can't let it roll off, if it keeps replaying in your mind, church, then you have a responsibility to do something about it. Because otherwise you're giving room for the enemy. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to get stuck in it. And he wants you to keep it private and quiet so it doesn't get resolved. So we need to forgive easily, forgive quickly, and if we can't, then go have a conversation and begin the process of working through it. So that we're not giving room to the devil. So I thought it was interesting that I think last week Pastor Joe talked about us going into a new season. I felt like God was kind of reiterating that this morning. Pastor Steve Smith preached it a couple weeks ago. And so as we were looking at the series, we started talking about it a month or so ago about doing this series. I thought, God, the timing just seems a little bit off. It seems like we should have had this series like 6 months ago. Because now we feel like we are coming to the end of the season. Thank God. But church, even when you're in a season of rest and relief and refreshment, you can be sure another battle's coming. It's never done. As long as we're on this earth, there's always going to be those battles. There's always going to be the times that the enemy is coming. And I love that God gave us his word through Natalie, and then Natalie and Debbie wrote the song together about Beauty for Ashes, because I believe that is such a prophetic song for this church, especially for the season that we're in. And what I felt like God wanted me to share today about that is in Matthew 13, where Jesus is explaining a parable, and he says, listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and they don't understand it. And then when the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. And so, church, that's where I think we're at. God has planted this seed that is about to bloom. It is about to grow into something far bigger than I think I can even imagine. And what the enemy will try to do is snatch it. He will try to get you focused on other things. He will try to get you having issues within the body of Christ. He's tried the last 6 months to do some crazy stuff that I couldn't even imagine. But God says his words, whether it's through the Bible or through prophetic words, it's got to find good ground. It's got to be something that we are attentive to, that we don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. But as a body of Christ, we need to take hold of what is God doing and what's my part in it. What is he wanting me to do to bring this to fruition? And I began to see that this morning as I saw the church up here pressing in and worshiping. And I saw people that I know that was hard for you. I know that's not your comfort zone. I know it's not easy. But that is you stewarding the word that God is giving. That is you pressing in and doing your part. And so I want to encourage this church, we all need to come together. And what we're hearing God say, we need to write it down. We need to pray over it during the week. We need to be asking God and open to what do you want me to do about this? Because otherwise the enemy will just quietly pull it out to where you begin to miss out on what God's doing. And we begin to miss out on what God is doing. So as I was preparing for this, I was also reminded, as we talk about spiritual warfare, and I don't know how many of you remember it, but back in July, I preached a sermon, and it was just sharing different prophetic words that had been given to our church in like a two-month period, and there were five different people that were speaking different things about what God was saying was coming up. And church, I will tell you, back in July, I had no idea. I believed what God was saying and God was preparing us for something. But this church has just walked through, I would say, one of the hardest seasons that this church has ever faced, ever. One of the hardest. They've had a few other really hard seasons, but this has been one of the hardest. And so what I want to say is when God is speaking, we need to pay attention to what he's saying. He was preparing us for what was about to come. And I want to just read a few things from that. Those prophecies that I shared in that sermon. And some of you may have no clue what we're talking about because you don't know what's happening the last 6 months, and that's fine, and I'm glad. But there was a lot of stuff on social media even. It was very public attacks on this congregation. And listen to some of these words that were given. Before any of that began to happen, none of it was happening. One of them says, my people are casting judgments and putting labels on others. I saw a lot of that happening. One of them said, there's an enormous dragon. And I saw the soldier deliver a mighty blow, but not with a sword, it was with a shield. And if you know, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. But the shield is the shield of faith. And this battle that we just walked through, it wasn't defeated by quoting scriptures. It was defeated by standing in faith and just standing. And saying, God, we've done all we know to do. So we're just standing. Trusting you, believing you. And now he's saying, I'm taking you to the next season. You've passed that test. And man, it was a hard one. But he warned us, and these are scriptures I held on to. These are scriptures, or not scriptures, these are prophecies that I would go back and read during those seasons. That's how you steward the seed. You don't just let it go. You don't just ignore it. You don't just hear it and think that's great and then go on your way. But you let it direct your steps. One of the prophecies talk about how the Lord says, I desire mercy over judgment. We were in a season that we needed people to be merciful. That was our responsibility, mercy. And God told us ahead of time because that's what he does. He prepares us. But what do we do with it? One of it says, it talked about stained glass. It says, what looks beautiful on the outside, you don't know what things look like on the inside. And we walked through some stuff where some things were revealed that was hard. It was hard to see. And there's one that talked about how the glory cloud is presently sitting upon the lighthouse. And church, that's why the enemy is coming so hard. And I will tell you this, it wasn't just a corporate attack. I know many, many, many of you in your personal lives, you have been attacked through physical issues, through mental concerns. There have been people who have been through grief of the loss of loved ones that just, it's been almost like not a natural grief. It has been like impairing grief. People whose children are making decisions that are just out there. And there's been so many personal attacks, attack after attack after attack. Because I believe the enemy sees what God's about to do. And so I wanted to end as they come back to worship by saying this. I think it's important to know your enemy. But even more important is to know your God.
Yeah, come on.
We need to be aware that we have an enemy. We need to be aware that he does want to destroy us. He's not nice. He's not kind. He's not just playing patty cake with us. But even more important is know that God has a plan. That God is preparing the way, that he has the path, and as long as we stay on his path, we're going to be okay. That as long as we keep walking in obedience, there's nothing. Satan can't harm us. He can't touch us. I recently heard a pastor say, he called it a father filter. That as a child of God, everything that happens in your life passes through the filter of our Heavenly Father. That nothing, Satan can do nothing to us that God hasn't allowed. And so the hard thing, church, is sometimes understanding, God, why? Why did you allow it? Why are you allowing this to happen? And that's where faith comes in. That I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe that you know what you're doing, even when it feels like chaos in my life. And I love Pastor Darius was using that example with Carmen today. And you know, as human parents, sometimes we want to protect our children. And there are things that we don't want to allow in their life, and there are things that we try to push into their life. And we think we know best, but you know, church, sometimes we get it wrong. Because we are human. And sometimes there's things that we try to protect them from that they really need to experience, they need to learn, and they need to grow through. But our Heavenly Father is not like that. He never makes a mistake. And so if he's letting something come your way, there's purpose in it. These last few months, I've seen people struggle physically. That I'm like, God, I don't understand. We know that you can heal. We know, and it just seems like it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and we don't understand. But church, there's purpose in it. God's doing something. And it may not be something out there, but it may be something in here. And so we have to know God. We have to trust our relationship with him, that when things don't make sense, we're still standing. We have to know that he is for us. We have to know that he is greater than the enemy. And that as long as we keep staying on his path, we are guaranteed the victory eventually. It may not come in our time, but it will come. We have to know. If you're a teenager, you can't know who God is to your parents or your grandparents. You have to know who God is to you. As adults, we can't know who God was to us 10 years ago. Who is God to us now? What is our relationship with God like now? Are we still walking? Are we still in the right place, doing the right thing? Try the most is to divide you and separate you from your relationship with God. Because if he can do that, church, we are defeatable. And so our job is to know that we are where God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do. And so I feel like this morning we need to take a little time just to ask that question. God, how am I with you? How is my relationship with you? Not what I think it is. What do you think it is? Am I where you want me to be? Am I doing everything you want me to do? Am I learning what you need me to learn? Am I loving the way that you need me to love? Am I forgiving as you have forgiven me? Church, it's so important that we take those times to check our relationship. And this morning I have communion up here because I think it's so important that we take time to remember who Christ is, what he has done for us. And I just want to offer it to you whenever you want to do it, on your own, in your own way, but let it be a remembrance of who you are in Christ and who Christ is to you. And then I also have those prophetic words again. So if you feel like you need to be reminded of what God has said to this church, you can take one of those and pray through that if you need to. But I believe as we walk into a new season, church, that we can walk through it in a greater unity than we have ever experienced before. And I believe that as we walk into a new season, we can walk into it in a way that God can have freedom to do what he wants to do. But that takes each of us doing our part and knowing God for ourselves and continuing to seek God. So right now, if you'll just come, find a place to talk to God yourself, have the conversations with God. You to listen to what he's saying to you. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Not your own knowledge, but be open to hear whatever the Spirit is saying. As they continue to play, go ahead and sing.